from the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, your chance to tell your story. North Texas gets a visit next month from StoryCorps. And if you want to write your own story, listen for the key to creating a novel in 30 days. We'll start with news for folks trying to get their GED. Dallas's downtown public library unveiled plans today to make it the first in Texas with an official GED testing center. That will let 3,000 more students take the high school equivalency test each year. Richard Ramos, a 39-year-old single father of four, took the GED last year. He's glad the library is opening a testing center because he had to head out of town for his test.
Every place around here in Dallas was full. So Rockwall was the only one that had an opening, and I needed to do it by a certain deadline for work, so they were the ones that had it for me.
Another GED student, Kevin Franklin, never finished high school. He's 57 and lives at the nearby Dallas Life Foundation, a homeless shelter.
See, all of the years I just been faking and going through it, and most of the time when I do get jobs or go somewhere, I be lying about my GED, be lying about the diploma and stuff like that. I'm just trying to put everything on a clean slate, and I'm just trying to just do something for myself to say I done it.
Franklin hopes to get that chance soon and take the test at the Dallas Library. Atmos Energy is funding the center, which is scheduled to open November 15th. The South Dallas Cultural Center dives into tough issues like post-traumatic stress and military sexual assault this weekend with the play Speed Killed My Cousin. The lead character, Deborah, is a young African-American soldier returning from Iraq. As she drives with her father, David, a Vietnam veteran, she struggles with suicidal thoughts. The play was written by Linda Paris Bailey of Tennessee's Carpetbag Theater. She tells KERA's Ann Bothwell it's designed to spark conversation.
Linda Paris Bailey, welcome to the KERA Newsroom.
Thank you.
What inspired you to write the play?
I was inspired by a long-term interest in the whole process of healing from trauma. I am of the Vietnam generation and remember very, very clearly the impact of trauma from Vietnam. I have a dozen or so cousins who all served in Vietnam. The story specifically was inspired by the death of my cousin, the mysterious circumstances surrounding his death. His name was Vernon. I believe I was 12 or 13. He died from a head-on collision with a wall in rural North Carolina. And I think from the day that I heard how he died, I suspected that it wasn't an accident.
And there's a character in the play, Linnell, who died in a similar way.
Yes, Linnell is definitely fashioned after my cousin.
Deborah joins the military primarily to pay for college, and her father encourages it despite his experiences in Vietnam, but he doesn't really believe she's ever going to be sent off to war. This is a little different storyline than your average Hollywood narrative about military families.
And, you know, particularly I think in our community, there are two things that are a kind of thought of as a way out of poverty, as a way of making progress. One is education, and the other source has been the military. I mean, we know that throughout the history of black people in the military that there's been injustice, but we continue to see it as a viable option to finding employment, to supporting oneself. Many of the women that we spoke to joined the military to support their kids. You know, I think that's the story that doesn't get told, and that's a different kind of sacrifice.
Do you think there's a difference between father-daughter soldiers and father-son soldiers?
I think that those lines are beginning to be a little bit blurred. For instance, for David's character, his thinking about the military is based on his experience in Vietnam, not the experience of soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. The idea that he thought, as a woman, she would be protected, if you will, is no longer a valid idea. Women are serving in a very different function. I was pretty floored to hear that women in Vietnam, they weren't even given weapons. So it was a whole different institution.
When Deborah is deployed. She's not just afraid of the enemy. She also has some fears and concerns about her colleagues.
The incidences of military, you know, assault, sexual assault on women, the numbers are astounding. I think that we couldn't tell the story without dealing with that as an issue, because it is a major issue. Our organization, or the Carpetbag Theater, is committed to revealing hidden stories. Again, when we started working on this piece, these were not stories that were commonly told.
Linda Paris Bailey, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, this is a great talk. Thank you.
Linda Paris Bailey's play, Speed Killed My Cousin, opens tomorrow at the South Dallas Cultural Center. StoryCorps is coming to North Texas next month. The Public Radio Oral History Project will set up its signature silver mobile booth in the Dallas Arts District. For the next few Wednesdays, we'll revisit some classic StoryCorps segments, all recorded in Texas. First up, a campus love story. It was the 1980s. Gwendolyn Diaz had just started teaching at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. Henry Flores was already a professor there, and the new faculty member caught his eye. In 2012, the two sat down to talk about that first encounter.
I was walking down the hallway, and I noticed the last office in the hallway, his door was open.
And I was sitting in my office, and I noticed this man walking by.
I just kind of looked inside to see who was in there, and I saw a flash of ankle, and I saw this blonde hair, and I went smack dab into the wall. Well, the very next day, about the same time, I was walking down the hallway again, saw the same door open. I looked inside, and I walked into the wall again in the same identical place. I went running back to my office, and I closed the door, and I said, "You idiot." All of a sudden, I hear this knock on my door, and I open it, and it's you. And you just kind of stare at me and say, "You got a cigarette?"
I was curious because the first time that you bumped into the wall, I thought, that guy's a little uncoordinated. But the second time, I thought you'd taken notice of the new girl in the hallway.
I gave her a cigarette and she kind of stared at me and turned around and walked away. Didn't say a thing. I said to myself, what do I do to meet this beautiful woman? I thought about it for a second. I said, an ashtray. So I cleaned all the ashtrays in my office. There's three of them.
I remember when you came with the three ashtrays and you gave me one to pick. I thought, maybe there was something to that bumping into the walls.
We started going out after that, and we went out dancing. I asked permission to kiss you.
And we weren't terribly young, and I told you something like, you shouldn't have to ask. You looked at me straight in the eye with a serious look, and you said, I have to warn you, I'm very intense. And I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, he doesn't know what intense is yet. And after, 17, 18 years, it's not always perfect, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
The StoryCorps mobile booth will park at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas for a month starting November 20th. Find out how you can reserve a time to share your story at KERA.org. Writing a novel is never easy, but Chris Beatty thinks it can be done in just 30 days. He founded something called National Novel Writing Month, which starts Saturday. Today on Think, Beatty told Chris Boyd that the trick to writing a book in 30 days is powering through that first draft.
In a lot of ways, it's sort of like home building, where there's part of you that wants to sort of start hanging wallpaper as soon as the walls are framed, you know, wants to run in there and put in nice carpets down. And that's how we learned how to write, really, is to kind of make things eloquent and have a very beautiful flowing style. But that, I think, is you're wasting your time if you're doing that on the first draft, that there are so many things that are going to end up changing. And so really, I would say, focus on just pouring that concrete, getting those beams up, and getting a roof on that thing.
Think re-airs tonight at 10, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.